So. Welcome back, Cowboys and Cowgirls, to another episode of Ingles and Ian, presented by CowboysRideForFree.com. And as always, your good friend and mine, Ian. How you doing today, buddy?
Hey, man. I'm doing good. It's raining out here. We haven't got a lot of rain in a while. And we are only 6 days away from week zero. 10 days away, 11 days away from...
11 days away.
11, I think.
Yeah, against so 11 days. Yeah. But we are in the most wonderful time. There are no more Saturdays without college football.
Yes, sir.
How wonderful is that?
You want to just, I'm going to read
nope.
Saturday. But, I mean, Shane Illingworth could possibly be in action. I don't know if Nevada's named their starting quarterback yet. He takes on New Mexico State. That's at 9 p.m. Central on ESPN2. And then you got the biggest game on the docket is probably Vanderbilt. No. Nebraska and Northwestern.
Yeah, and that's over in Ireland and all that jazz. Yeah.
But, I mean, there's not bad games on here. There's the whole schedule is Austin Pay versus Western Kentucky, Nebraska versus Northwestern, Idaho State versus UNLV, UConn versus Utah State, Wyoming versus Illinois. That could be a sneaky good game. DeQuincy?
DeQuincy?
It's Duquesne. Florida State.
Yeah, Duquesne is actually Duquesne. Really near Pitt in downtown Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
I've actually been to a Duquesne basketball game.
Oh, what was that? They're in the A-10,
I think. Yes, yeah, something like that. Okay. I mean, it was fun. They're a good basketball program. I don't even know where they play football. Like, I'm surprised they have a football program.
They might just play on the road a whole bunch. Then we got Charlotte at Florida Atlantic, Florida A&M at North Carolina, North Texas at UTEP, which I think could be a sneaky good game. The previously mentioned Nevada and New Mexico State. And then at 9:30, Vanderbilt and Hawaii, which that game should just be electric.
So they play at the same stadium as like some MLS, or I think it's actually a minor league. It's actually their own stadium. Okay. Cool. Yeah, it's like sort of in the middle of downtown.
Huh. How about that? I'm going to look that up real quick.
Rooney what? Field. Yeah.
What field?
Rooney Field. It's right off the one of the rivers. Yeah, it's a nice little area.
Is that named after the Pittsburgh Steeler owner, one of the Rooneys?
I don't know.
Arthur J. Rooney Athletic Field.
Yep. Honor of Duquesne University football letterman and founder of the Pittsburgh Steelers National Football League team, Art Rooney. There you go.
Hey, good for him. It's the smallest stadium in the FCS too.
Yeah, I mean, where it is, like I've been by there so many times. Like, there is not a lot of available real estate, especially in that part of PA. I mean, there's not a lot of available real estate around Pittsburgh just because of the geography. But, I mean, that's literally, like, right on the river. That's a big old highway. Yeah, that's a busy, busy area. I'm surprised they even have room for one.
Well, I'm glad they do. I mean, it's nice to know. But we've probably talked about Duquesne University a little too much. The part. But I don't know how much we can talk about Central Michigan and Oklahoma State. I don't.
Not till next week, anyway. I mean,
what
I'm
have
not...
we not covered? Do you want to do our playoff preview or something like that.
Playoff preview. I mean, the big thing in, you know, Oklahoma State, especially football world, is, you know, we've opened at 12 and 11. Yeah. And so I didn't see that coming, to be honest. Like, we're not, I don't know. I know I'm Mr. Hope Train, but I just don't see us at number 12 in the country or number 11.
It's a good spot to be in. I think that's prime Alamo Bowl territory right there.
Well, what's going to be really interesting is, assuming both teams take care of business, you're talking probably a 7-9 in Waco to open up the Big 12 for Oklahoma State.
That would be something. I'm pretty sure Baylor. Well, Baylor's got to get past BYU.
Well, and Iowa State. So we have the first week of conference play. We have the bye, but Baylor. I think Baylor goes to Ames.
They go to Provo and Ames. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty tough go, but I mean, they're going to be favored in all those games, assuming something weird doesn't happen. I mean, they're going to run roughshod over Albany and Texas State.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a really good chance that is a 3-0 Oklahoma State team versus a 4-0 Baylor team, you know, both inside the top 10.
I'm pretty low on Arizona State, and I'm pretty sure that Oklahoma State will take care of Arkansas Pine Bluff. But, man, that Central Michigan game, I know that Oklahoma State's favored by 21, but this is a team that won the Sun Bowl last year as a last-minute replacement for Miami this last year, and they return, again, Lou Nichols, who I think is the best running back in the MAC. They defeated a Washington State team who was 7-5. I mean, this Chippewa team is, I think, can be in contention for the MAC this year. They also have a game with Penn State, which I think could be, that's another team that I think they could sneak up on and keep it close with. So I'm pretty high on this Central Michigan Chippewa team.
Yeah, I mean, they're always good or decent, at least. And plus, you know, there's all that PTSD of what, 2015? Was that the year that crazy untimed down? And I mean, granted, we should have put them away earlier, but still, you know, and so I still have that kind of PTSD from that.
Yeah, I mean, that one game, man, one game could change everything. And it definitely did in that 2017 game, which, you know, there was that final penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then all hell broke loose. So I'm obviously, you don't want that again.
Right, right. And so I don't know. ASU is interesting. They've shown flashes, but there's so much turmoil there. Granted, I haven't heard a lot recently, so maybe Herm is off the hot seat, but it's still a Division I Pac-12 school, right? And it's not Kansas or Vanderbilt.
Right? Yeah, I do think that I think Herm might get fired at the end of this year if they don't finish well. And I don't really have a whole lot of expectations for Arizona State this year. I think they'll go somewhere between 6-6, and I think they could easily miss a bowl game. If I'm looking at their schedule right now, it does not look good. Let me look at this real quick.
So as of right now, their over-under is between 5.5 and 6.5, depending on the sports book. So, yeah, they're going to be right around 500.
They are projected to finish 10th in the Pac-12, according to their media poll. Oof. And their schedule is Northern Arizona, Oklahoma State, Eastern Michigan, Utah USC right off the bat. So I think they're 2-3 after five games. Got Washington, Stanford, Colorado, UCLA, Washington State, Oregon State, and Arizona. So I think they'll probably lose to Oregon State, Washington State, maybe UCLA as well. Maybe not Washington State, but it's at Washington State, so I could definitely see that. So, and they might lose to Washington. So, yeah, I think they'll probably go 5-7.
Yeah.
I think Herm will probably be gone. So,
yeah, especially with all the other scandals that have been going around recruiting during COVID and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But, I mean, every year he's gone 7-6. 8-5, 2-2 in the COVID year, and 8-5 again. So, I mean, he's been consistent.
Yeah. Well, the other hard thing to know, especially because just keeping up with the portal is so hard, is who they get, who they lose, right? It's not like mm-hmm. even just a few years ago where it'd be like, you basically know who's on the team for the most part. Just that's not the way. So like maybe they got some big transfer where they've lost some people. I haven't been able to keep it that close. We need a portal like intern that their entire job is just to like watch the portal for us.
Well, they are starting Emory Jones, a quarterback who was at Florida the longest time. So, I mean, he's okay, but I don't know really what else they have. Despite Emory Jones. So, right. We'll see.
So, to get off football a little bit, I think it was, don't quote me on this, but I do remember the thing. But I'm pretty sure it was Dixon from TCU was saying that he hopes that when the Big 12 settles down after all the expansions and everything else, that we keep the round robin format, the double round robin.
Which would
mean like 9 non-conference games, but I think it'd be great. 23 conference games? Would that be
22?
22.
Which I don't hate that at all. I agree with you. I mean, most of the time, you know, you have your warm-up games, and then you know you have your Maui Invitational and your, you know, those Invitationals, which are nice. Those neutral site games. Which I like, and most of the time you get your little warm up games against like Oakland or something. But then again, we lost to Oakland last year, so who knows there?
Yeah, is this like the season for Boynton? Like, is this do or die time for Boynton?
No, not yet. Not yet. He's got 1 year.
And
he's got this year and then a hot seat.
I think if he does bad this year, it's not going to be a hot seat. It's going to be like scolding, like 8,000 degree volcano seat, not just a hot seat.
Did you see that Oklahoma State has a beer now?
Iron Monk. Yeah. I've driven by that brewery a few times. I've never been there, but it's a good spot right off of, off a sixth, yeah.
I bet it's pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I've never had it, but it's a good beer to have whenever you're losing to Missouri State at some point, you know, or when Spencer Sanders throws 3 interceptions against Baylor, or you know, when you're having a literal anxiety attack during Bedlam. So, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, you kind of need a beer to have to be a college football fan. So it works out, I think.
Yeah, it's, so they're, they're not where I thought they were. No, yeah, they are. They're right off a sixth, near Thai Cafe, near Husband, like 6th and Husband is where they're at. It's a good location. I'm trying to look this beer up to see what it's all about. It's probably like a Pilsner, you know, or a lager, which most, you know, your basic kind of beer.
Yeah, I don't know squat about beers, but I know that it's probably good.
Yeah, I mean, I've had their beer before. I've just never actually been to the brewery itself.
I've not had their beer ever, so.
It's not on their website yet, so I'll have to look it up at some point. But yeah, it's wow, they sell their own kegs. That's new. ooh, live trivia every Wednesday. I love trivia.
Not bad. Trivia is great.
There was a there's a brewery near my apartment, and they have trivia every Wednesday. And earlier this year, they had a Star Wars only trivia. Won it by myself. Like, everyone else was on a team, walked in there, rolled people. It's like, oh, I know this way too much.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's how you do it. That's how you do it right there.
But the big thing with this beer is actually going to be available at the stadium. That's like, last time I went to a game, which would have been, oof, 2019, I think, 2018 or 2019. They only had like Bud and Coors, and you know that's not my jam. But so it'll be nice to have an actual like craft beer in the stadium.
Yeah, I bet that will be very nice. I don't know if I'm going to go to a game this year or not. I've been looking for tickets just for random games nearby. I found one for South Carolina and Arkansas, $8. But in like row 505, but I don't know.
Still, I mean, Fayetteville's not a bad drive. It's a good town. I've spent many days in Fayetteville. It's a fun place.
It's good. I kind of want to go to an Arkansas game because I guess they're supposed to be pretty good this year, which
they say that every year.
Yeah, but I think this year, I think it's more possible. Definitely more possible.
Let's see. Depending on who you're looking at, I'm seeing them between 6.5 and 7.5 over under for the wins.
Oh, they've dropped. Because I've seen somewhere between like 8, they could maybe beat A&M. I mean, they have a tough schedule, but I think that if they were to pull out, you know, BYU and A&M, I mean, that puts them in Cincinnati. I mean, they're gonna be in pretty good shape, I think. Also, you have the Bobby Petrino return game with the Missouri State. So that'll be something to monitor.
We saw how well that went last year for us.
Well, Bobby Petrino never played at or never coached Oklahoma State, I don't think. He was the head. Do you remember that photo of him with the neck brace?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's how he got fired at Arkansas. So.
Yeah.
That'll be funny. If they ever give thanks for the memories, it's just him and the neck brace.
Oh, he opened the university up to so many lawsuits because of that. Like, I had like, so, you know, obviously, you know, he was sleeping with somebody he hired, former volleyball player, right?
Yeah.
And so she got hired for some position with the football program or in the athletic department or something like that. And so when that came out, they had like 100 lawsuits of people who applied saying they were wrongfully denied a chance at the job.
Sheesh.
Yeah, this Arkansas schedule is tough. They got Cincy, which Cincy's going to, you know, they lost their quarterback, so that's always a question mark. A&M should roll them, but A&M should always be like 11-1, and they're never 11-1. Bama will probably smoke them. BYU, hard to say. I mean, who knows what Chip Kelly's going to do at LSU. You know, Mississippi, Chip, Ole Miss. What?
Say Chip Kelly?
Yo, sorry. Wrong coach.
No, you're good. I was like, wait.
The Notre Dame guy. The Notre Dame dude.
Yeah. The one that killed that guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Brian Kelly. The wrong Kelly. Yeah.
The bad Kelly.
Well, then he's got to go up again.
Yeah. My family.
That was the worst. Got that new stupid Southern thing. Accent.
He's trying out.
Oh, man.
I wonder how well they're going to do this year, because I don't think they're going to be that spectacular. But maybe they'll make a bowl game. But man, I
know they've got what I've heard anyway is they've got some good guys out of the portal that could really start contributing early. And it's still LSU, right? I mean, yeah, they, you know, sort of flamed out after, you know, their national title run, but it's still LSU. It's not like they're, you know, they're going to be able to recruit really well. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I like it when LSU's good, but I also wish they kept Ed Orgeron. He's a character.
Yeah, but there was also other stuff coming out about him. And especially in the wake of Les Miles, they weren't going to push that. Like, apparently there was, like, inappropriate stuff of, like, his girlfriends being around practice and, like, all sorts of other stuff that's not okay. And, like I said, after Les Miles, there's, like, we're not dealing with that.
Man. So I like Coach O, and I'd welcome him to OSU anytime. He could bring his girlfriends. That doesn't matter to me. You know, they'll probably love hanging out at Willie's and Coney Island and all that. You know, go Cowboys, you know.
All right, so looking at the first week for the Big 12, obviously we got Oklahoma State, CMU. I don't like that spread. I think it's going to be closer to like 14 instead of 21. WVU and Pitt. Good to see the Backyard Brawl is back. Pitt's only -7. That's an interesting line, especially where they're opening up. They're opening like 15, 16, something like that.
I don't know how good Pitt is going to be this year, because I can kind of see them going, they could drop this game, drop a game against Tennessee. They're bringing in a new quarterback. And
they lost their number one wide receiver, too.
Yeah, and they ran their offensive coordinator out of town, Mark Whippleman, who's at Nebraska now. That Thursday slate, honestly, that September 1st slate, not just the Big 12, but it's a pretty good slate. You have Central Michigan, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Pittsburgh. I think Penn State, Purdue are the big three games of the day there. That's not a bad schedule at all.
No, not at all. It's gonna be fun. Maybe I'll take that Friday off. So just watch football for like 2 days, 3 days, whatever.
Just take Thursday through Labor Day off, guys. I mean, that's how you need to do it. It's football for 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 straight days of football. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all.
And then TCU is opening up in Boulder against the Buffaloes of Colorado. -11 for TCU. That's a bit better than I would expect.
Well, you know, Colorado usually not that good. And
yeah, I just in my head, if someone were to say this game to me, I think the spread would be like 14, not 11.
Oh, you thought it was going to be higher.
Bigger, yeah.
Okay. I kind of think that's the right amount for now, just because we don't know. We have not seen these teams play at all. So each his own. Tennessee Tech at Kansas. I mean,
yeah, so
like where Kansas is going.
And you got UTEP and OU. UTEP and OU plus 32 for UTEP.
Yeah.
I don't know. With all the changes, and you know UTEP is going to come out swinging.
That's a game I'd probably stay away from. Just because
I think you take the over. You're not the over. You take the points.
Yeah, I think you would. Speaking of mentioning the over-unders, I mean, that Oklahoma State Central Michigan is at 58. I would probably lean the under there right now.
For now, yeah. I mean, it really depends. Like, I just don't see OSU putting up 40, but I don't see the defense unless CMU is just way worse than I think they will be. I mean, they were 9-4 last year. That's a decent team.
Yeah. It's a very
decent team. I just don't see the defense going like, here's 8 points. Congratulations. You know, like they did last year.
Yeah. I doubt that as well.
And then the last one on the slate, again, another one I might consider taking the points here, is Louisiana Monroe Warhawks against the Longhorns of Austin.
Terry Bowden, baby.
+38.
Yeah, I'm not touching that either.
I had to bet it. I'd take the spread here. Or I'd take the points here.
Take the over on points or the points for UL Monroe?
For Louisiana Monroe, yeah. I take the +38.
Take the That is one of those games where I'm just like, I don't know. because the spread is so huge, I don't like that at all.
I remember one year when Tebow was at Florida, they opened at -70 against a team.
Oh yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That team was just amazing. That team was pretty good. Full of criminals too.
Yeah, full of criminals.
You got a murderer, a minister, a racist, and a grinder all on that team. Then a couple guys with DUIs here and there. Did you see good old Urban Meyer's back on Big Noon Kickoff?
I did not.
Yeah, he's back with it. So they have the original Big Noon team now. Man, there's something about Urban Meyer loving the grind, you know? I love making those jokes. But he was a good analyst, if I'm not mistaken. So. I mean, yeah, he's a terrible person. Good analyst, though, which probably isn't the best thing to put on your resume or anything, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Oh, man, that's an unbelievable deal for them. I love the fact that the Big Ten gets that music again, the CBS music. I don't know why. I think that's awesome.
Speaking of the Big Ten, so I've heard the rumors, but it's the first time it was Thursday or Friday. I was listening to either College Sports or Mad Dog on Sirius, and it was the first time I've heard it reported. There's a good chance that the Regents and State Legislature of California are going to try and block UCLA from going to the Big Ten.
So USC just goes?
USC is private, I think.
That's really weird, because then you just have USC just going by themselves.
Well, yeah. Well, the question is it a package deal? Right, like, are they going to take both of them? Because there's some really weird stuff that happened that, like, because technically, you know, if you work for USLA, you are a state employee. Just like if you work for Oklahoma State football, you're a state employee. And there was a lot of like, I know a lot of it came out of when North Carolina passed their bathroom bill, whatever they called it, that caused a big stink like 4, 5, 6 years ago, however long it was. Well, California said, okay, state employees are not allowed to travel to those states. Well, there's a lot of states like that in the Big Ten, especially Ohio.
They're not allowed to travel to...
on official business. They are not allowed to use California state funds to travel to a state with similar bills and similar laws.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, Ohio is...
I mean, Ohio is one of the more conservative states in the nation. I mean, especially right now, they're making like even Oklahoma look kind of liberal. I mean, with some of the laws they're passing.
Hey, I don't keep up with politics too much. I know that they're pretty conservative. I thought they weren't doing that because of the abortion bill.
Oh, there's that too. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff politically there, but. But it was something that got brought up the moment it got announced, is that the legislature in the regions may ban it. Because, I mean, besides football, it's murder on those kids. We've talked about it. Like, I wouldn't want to play sports for UCLA if I'm having to go to Rutgers on a Tuesday and basically never be in my own bed.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree. So if they pull out, I don't blame them. And if they were to stay in the Pac-12, honestly, I think it's kind of better if the Pac-12 kind of stays intact. Because nobody really benefits, just except money wise. But even if that was the case, the shares that each school gets cut a little bit when you add new schools.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you have to imagine that this current media rights deal was struck with the mind that UCLA and USC were going to be a part of it.
So, yeah, I would think so. You would think so. And I think they're going to get Notre Dame eventually. So
that makes sense.
Getting that NBC deal is huge.
So the real question is, say USC or UCLA can't go to the Big Ten. Can all these media partners who negotiated this deal with the Big Ten, can they renegotiate? Since I can almost guarantee that there was language in there about USC and UCLA being a part of it.
I bet that they would probably... maybe cut. I don't know. Maybe. I think that's definitely a possibility.
So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because what, Big 12 is in 3 years. It wouldn't surprise me, because of all the movement that's happening, if it happens sooner, and then whatever happens there will essentially decide the fate of the Big 12, because right now we can't keep up. I mean, teams like trying to, Illinois football, who is okay at best, are making double the money that Oklahoma State's making, just because they're a part of the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean,
Rutgers is making double the money Oklahoma State's going to be making.
Woof.
And then it's just a war of attrition, because, you know, we saw it with Knowles. You know, after a certain point, they just have so much more money they can start buying coaches, you know. And so, I mean, Gundy's going to stay. I mean, the only way I could see Gundy leaving at this point is someone backed up the truck and be like, here's $30 million a year, like something ungodly, ungodly, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to stay for sure. But man. Didn't he talk about that? He was like, oh, yeah, I talked to Tennessee for a little bit. like way back when or something like that?
It was about it. Yeah, that was 2012, something like that. Like he got really upset because they weren't paying enough, especially his assistants, and so he was losing people left and right. Mm. I mean, what, he went through like what, 4 offensive coordinators in 5 years or something like that, because people kept hiring him away. And, you know, because Monken left, but Monken took a head coaching job. So did Dana. But still, you know, it was just, it's something that's always been an issue, is keeping good coordinators at Oklahoma State. Because up until recently, we haven't paid.
Yeah. We would not pay. Well, now Derek Mason's got $1 million or something like that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he got a like 1.3, something like that. Yeah. I mean, so here's a good example. Like Todd Monken, who was here, you know, in 2011. You know, he's making $2 mil a year being the coordinator at Georgia.
Mm-hmm. I mean, national championship, what he was able to do with Stetson Bennett, which of course a lot of that was his defense. This year's probably to be more pinnacle for him, I think. Or
yeah.
Just like there's gonna be more pressure on him just because all that defense is gone.
Right. But I mean, so for example, at least what I'm seeing online right now is that Casey Dunn makes $900,000 a year. So Monken makes more than double his salary.
Jeez. I take Todd Monken back in a heartbeat, dude. So.
Oh, yeah. He was great. All go, no quit. Let's throw it as fast as we can.
Yeah.
he was not opposed to the full on like middle finger play. Like I remember that mm-hmm. year I actually went to the Baylor game and he pulled out a few trick plays when we were up and was just like, screw you guys. Our quarterback is better than yours, even though he's getting all the Heisman love. That was a good game. I made a lot of money on that game too. It's back when I was doing a whole lot of sports betting, and that game was a part of like a 17 parlay that hit for me.
17 game parlay. Holy
17,
crap.
17, sevens.
17. 17. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Still, it was a pretty good parlay. It was like 30-1.
Oh, that is nice. That's nice. Man. I can't wait to see some actual football being played. I'm kind of tired of talking about it.
I know.
I want to see some games.
Like even me, like, you know, because you know preseason NFL is going on right now, and I'm just like, oh yay football. Even though I don't really care.
I can't bring myself to watch preseason on purpose, man. Can't do it.
Well, I only do it if I'm out. Like if it's on, like if I'm in a restaurant or something, I'll watch it, but. Really, I'm like, okay, you know, if Detroit's playing, I'll be watching for Malcolm. You know, basically, I said to a friend of mine, like, let me see if I care about this game. And I'll, like, pull up the roster of, like, you know, in pokes in the NFL. Is like, nope, don't care about this game.
Well, have you been watching Hard Knocks?
I haven't. I need to start getting it.
Yeah, I've heard Malcolm's been getting a lot of love.
He's been taking a lot of first team reps, apparently, which is not a shocker, but
no, that's good, man. He needs to do his thing. Let him keep doing his thing. Because he's a Dan Campbell guy.
For yeah. Sure. Well, the thing with him is he's gonna be because he was but a 6-year guy, right? When it was all said and done, 6 years at OSU.
Yeah.
He's going to be a lot more, especially 6 years with Coach Glass. He's going to be a lot more physically mature than a lot of those like 21, 22 year olds.
Oh yeah. Definitely. Right now on this this ESPN depth chart, it says Rodriguez is second string middle linebacker behind is that Alex Anlozone, who's a 17th third round pick. So like, if he's in the rotation of guys, I mean that's that's really good.
Yeah, he's second string, he'll get a bunch of snaps.
Yeah,
good chance to prove himself.
I'm happy for him, man. That's awesome, and I hope he continues to have success. Because you know, he's a sixth round pick, man. I mean, he's doing had two tackles in that preseason game against the Colts.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
we've seen he can do at Oklahoma State. So ceiling's the roof, you know. That's what Michael Jordan said.
Yeah, I hope he does well. I mean, in terms of like all-time favorite Cowboys I've watched, he's up there for me. Like, he's probably top five all-time favorite, personal favorite for me.
Mm. Yeah, no, he's good. There's so many, which is why I kind of wanted to do that. Was it the 7-on-7 deal?
Mm-hmm.
I told you about, you want to do that now or next week? It's up to you.
Let's do that next time when I have a little bit more time to think about it.
All right. That works with me because I have not thought about it at all. Well, I've thought about it, but I haven't like put pen to paper and done it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
You got anything else for our fun listening audience?
I don't.
All right.
I don't.
Next week, we're going to be in full-on game time mode. We're going to be doing our 7-on-7 draft, getting our, you know, start looking at the picks. Granted, we still have week and a half until actual Oklahoma State football. So
yeah, but
it's about time, man. It's going to be fun. Cannot wait. I'm nervous. I don't know what to expect out of this team, but.
We'll find out shortly, man. And whatever happens, 9-3 Alamo Bowl, we'll ride.
All right, everybody. As always, you can find me at Jacob Ingles on Twitter, CowboysRightForFree.com as well. Hit me up with your predictions, thoughts, insults, whatever you think. So we'll see y'all next time.